And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
This is The Athletic Baseball Show on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Hey there, and welcome to the historic first episode ever of The Athletic Baseball Show. I am Jason Stark. Joined today by my friend Ken Rosenthal. We write about baseball for The Athletic, but Ken, we have more important stuff on our mind today because we have the immense honor of kicking off a venture that is going to redefine how we do podcasts around here. And here's how I know it must be cool. We even got you to do a weekly podcast. Am I right?
You're right, Jason, and I am really excited to do it. It's going to be every Monday, and basically I'm going to be answering listeners' questions, and there are a number of ways we can do that. Tim McMaster is the executive producer of The Athletic. He's going to host it, help me out a good amount, and the way people can get in is cool too, because we can have their voices on through voicemail, and of course they can also email questions, so we'll give all that information later. But yes, I'm really looking forward to it. We'll kind of just recap the week, answer some questions, talk about various issues in the game.
Well, that's a great segue to tell people what they can expect when they listen and hopefully subscribe to our Athletic Baseball Show all week long. So Mondays, that's your day, Ken. Any truth to the rumor that just so you could fit this into your schedule, you had to cut back your other work to only 7 days a week?
There's no truth to that rumor, Jason.
But okay, yeah, I was pretty sure.
We all work 7 days a week, and I'll continue working 7 days a week, but this will be a lot of fun.
It will. All right, then on Tuesdays, it is Starkville with myself and Doug Glanville. We've moved our whole darn town over here. I'm pretty sure that took a lot of moving vans. But as always, we'll have fun. We'll have trivia. We'll have amazing guests starting this week with, get this, Kenny, Theo Epstein.
Theo Epstein is one of the most difficult people to pin down in this sport. And clearly, I'm guessing that he must be excited to talk about some of the changes baseball is embarking upon in the minor leagues, testing them. And Jason, that is quite the coup for you and Doug and the entire Starkville community.
We're excited. Pretty sure Theo has not done an interview since he left the Cubs, which is almost 5 months ago. And you're right. He's got some thoughts on the state of baseball and what can be done about it. Can't wait to hear them all. So that covers Monday and Tuesday. On Thursdays, Ken, this might be the most incredible news yet. Hunter Pence, is joining our Murray podcast band. He and the always entertaining Grant Brisby teaming up for a weekly show. And this is going to be so much fun. Like, you never know where they might go. You never know which of Hunter's many friends might stop by. I can't wait. How about you?
I can't either. And I love Hunter. We all do. We all love covering him, talking to him. And I heard him recently on MLB Network, and he, in this medium, television, radio, podcast, is going to be absolutely a hit. He has so many thoughts on so many topics. He is a very insightful guy, and just his enthusiasm will pour through.
Yeah, he might have some energy. That might be noticeable. Okay, and finally, every Friday, we've got Keith Law and Derek Van Riper, and that's going to be amazing. Keith has some thoughts, Ken. Derek has some thoughts on the draft, prospects, front office stuff. A little fantasy might seep in there. Knowing Keith, I'm betting food comes up. It should be tremendous. So that's our schedule. 4 new shows a week. But now, what do you say that you and I do what people like us do in the week of opening day? Why don't we gaze ahead at the baseball season to come. Let's look at a few of the storylines that are about to unfold over the next 6 months. And I think, Ken, we have to start with this one. We're about to embark on a 162-game season. And it's so weird to say we haven't had one of those since 2019. But it's incredible how nervous people are about this in every front office in the game. So, Ken, let me ask you this. How nervous should they be?
Nervous. And there's no question that ramping up from 60 games to 162 is going to be an adjustment. And this is a sport in which front office people worry, even in normal times, constantly about injuries. And with the ramp up that's about to take place, clearly they're worried specifically about pitching most, but also workload for hitters, everyday players, how they're going to handle it. Now, granted, a lot of these players, most of them, have experienced the 162-game schedule before, but not after an abbreviated season the year before. So that is the biggest concern right now in the game. Depth is going to be at a premium this season. We know that. We're hearing teams talking about six-man rotations, creative uses of their pitching staffs throughout the year. You're going to see some guys come in and out from the minor leagues and contribute in that way. But Jason, frankly, I know the front offices are worried, but from a fan perspective, this is what we want. And I don't know if anyone realizes how much we missed it last year. 60 games, the two-month sprint, it just wasn't satisfying in the way a 162-game season is. And also, with the evaluation of players, we didn't really know what we were seeing. So overall, this is a great development that we're going to get back to a normal season. And all of the issues that executives fear, I expect they will be issues, but at the same time, we're in a good place.
Yeah, part of what makes baseball great, what makes it special, is just that day-to-day soap opera. 6 months. What happened last night? What's going to happen tonight? I missed that. It just zipped by way too fast last year, but it is going to be a test. 102 more games. That's a lot of games. In terms of pitchers, about 900 more innings for every team. It's a big number. But let me tell you about a number that I dug up for a column I write every year this time. The numbers that define baseball. This will post later this week. Because I was trying to find a way to define how much more of a test this season is than last season. So how about this? To make it through this season, it's going to require pitchers to throw nearly 500,000 more pitches than they threw last year. 500,000! Now, I'm not going to reveal too many of the details till the column runs, but Ken, the thing is, somebody has to throw every one of those 500,000 pitches. And are there even enough pitchers in baseball for every team to do that and survive? I honestly don't think so. Not every team.
No, not every team for sure. And it's going to be really interesting because a team like Tampa Bay in this circumstance, the deepest 40-man roster perhaps in the game, the deepest 20-man pitching staff on their 40-man in the game perhaps, they are going to be at an advantage here. One, because they have that depth. Two, because they are familiar with this kind of thing, right? They use pitchers in all kinds of ways. So it is going to be interesting to see how teams take different routes in trying to protect their pitching. And what always amazes me about baseball, and it's one of the actually worst things about it, is as much as teams try to protect their pitchers, they don't seem to do a great job because pitchers get hurt every single year. And I used to have this conversation with John Farrell when he was the pitching coach at Boston. And I said, John, you do pitch counts, you do this, you do that, and it doesn't matter. The injury rate remains high. Now, part of that is we diagnose better now. I get it. But all of these things that are going to transpire this year with the increase in number of innings needed to be covered compared to last season, they're going to have different effects on different pitchers and different teams in different ways. And it's going to be a trial by error type situation.
Every team is going to handle it differently, but some teams just aren't going to have enough pitching to make it through the years. And they're going to have some ugly numbers on their stat sheet. Now, Ken, you have a column this week that I think is entitled something like 21 for 21, 21 storylines for 2021. That's pretty catchy. Did you come up with that yourself?
You know what, Jason? I actually did. And I was kind of proud of myself. Because usually the storylines, you write 10, you write 12. But I must say, the 21 emanated from two places and has nothing to do with the number per se. One, there's a lot going on in the game right now. Beyond even what's happening on the field. We've got labor. We've got all kinds of issues. The DH, the expanded postseason. So I cover all of this in there. And the other thing that got me to 21, besides the fact that it coincides with the year we're in, is that I'm really excited about the season. That we have 162, that we're going to have fans back in the stands. That's a storyline for this year for sure. So, right. Yeah, I did it a little bit differently than I usually do or usually would. It would usually be, I don't know, 10, 12, whatever. But we've got a lot to look forward to and a lot to talk about, and that's why I took that approach.
I like it. Now, you and I talked about some of those storylines before you started writing it, and we had way more than 21. So
yes, we did.
It's going to be interesting. Now, 162 games, that was one of those storylines. Why don't you give me another one?
How about Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah.
Now, we're going to see this year, hopefully in full, Ohtani as a pitcher and a hitter. And I talked with Mike Trout a couple of weeks ago, and basically when he looked at him in spring training and see what Ohtani had been accomplishing, Trout looked back and said, you know what? This is the Ohtani everyone wanted to see. What are we talking about? Tape measure homers, 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, all at once. And if he can sustain that, well, this was the idea from the beginning. Now, in 18, of course, it was conservatively approached. But now, Perry Minasian, the new general manager, and Joe Maddon, the manager, they're kind of taking the chains off. And they're letting Ohtani be Ohtani, letting him pursue both avenues, pitching and hitting. And listen, we don't know how it's going to go. Ohtani has not thrown many innings in the past four seasons. So I would expect the limit's going to be somewhere around 100 at best. Hopefully they get in the playoffs from their perspective and they can figure it out. But at the same time, the mere physical talent that he has, and he's stronger now physically than he's ever been, it is so tantalizing to think of what he might accomplish. He is going to be a major storyline for sure.
Absolutely. I've admitted this many times since this guy arrived, but I am obsessed with Ohtani. Obsessed, I am. I know last year was a nightmare, but here is my favorite Ohtani stat. Now, apologies if you've heard me say this a few hundred times before, but until last year, this guy had the same career OPS as Freddie Freeman, and he had the same ERA plus as Gerrit Cole. And he's a real person, okay? If the Angels get that Ohtani this year, wow. All right, another one of your big storylines for the year. Remember that Astros cheating scandal thing? Well, it's back, or at least fans are back in the seats to remind them of it. So we finally got a year after a delay of visiting fans being able to finally greet the Astros with their trash can lids or whatever else they got planned. Plus, AJ Hinch is back. Alex Cora back from their one-year suspensions, both managing again. So what do you expect? How do you expect this to play out this year?
It's going to be more muted than it would have been if we had had a normal 2020 season coming off our report in November 2019 and the penalties that baseball administered to the Astros that January of 2020. Back then, if you remember, the wounds were rather fresh. And you remember in spring training, all the attention around the Astros before the shutdown, and it was going to be really the major storyline of last season. Now, time has passed. A lot has happened in the world and in baseball, and I just don't expect the intensity will be the same. But that said, fans have been waiting. Fans in other cities, in other AL West cities, in New York City, where the Yankees were eliminated in 2017 by the Astros in the ALCS. That was a season in which baseball found the Astros to have stolen signs illegally in both the regular season and postseason. So I do expect some reaction. Now, We have heard from AJ Hinch and Alex Cora, managers of the Tigers and Red Sox respectively, this spring about dealing with this issue and how they're going to be upfront about it, kind of tackle it head on. We still haven't heard that kind of expansive discussion, contrition, whatever you want to call it, from the players themselves. Now, we heard it a little bit last spring. We did. But many of the Astros really have kind of hoped this would blow over, in my opinion. It's not blowing over. It's going to be an issue this season. There's no question about it on the road. And the one series I've circled is the one at Yankee Stadium, May 4th to 6th. That's in New York, a midweek series. The Astros are not playing the Dodgers in LA this year. That would have been something to behold if you go back to the 2017 World Series. And, of course, the Correa and Bellinger back and forth from last spring. But, yes, I do expect reaction, Jason.
You know, I know there's going to be some stuff. I'm sure there's series in Yankee Stadium that, like, we'll have some stuff to talk about when that happens. But however much furor you think there's going to be, I really think I'm going to take the under. I honestly think this isn't going to be as big a deal as we would have expected. Last spring training, it was all anyone talked about. Like every camp you went to, you wound up in a conversation about it. I've been amazed this spring by how little anybody talked about it. Time may not have healed these wounds. It's taken a lot of the passion out of that Astros hatred. So, like, maybe you're right. Maybe this flares up. I just think it feels like such old news now. It's just not going to be anywhere near what it was.
I tend to agree. All right, I totally agree with that. It won't be because it can't be. Too much time has passed. Too much has happened in the world. It's just a different scenario.
Yep, for sure.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, let's turn to the milestone watch because you have got a great one. What do you got?
Miguel Cabrera. Yeah. Now, he's 134 hits short of 3,000. He's 13 homers short of 500. Now, I know some of our listeners, all they care about is rate stats. Don't give me the counting numbers. Well, sorry. These numbers still really matter. And those two things that I just said, 134 hits, 13 homers, those were approximately his numbers in the 2019 season. So they're certainly both within reach for him in the same season. And that is what is so unique about him this year. Now, there are six members of the 500-3000 club. Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, A-Rod, Eddie Murray, Rafael Palmeiro, and Albert Pujols. Those six guys all got to those two milestones. None of them ever got to both of those milestones in the same season. So Miggy has a real chance to do something special this year, and he's in great shape, great spirits. Who knows if he'll get there? You never know. But those numbers should be within reach for him, and it would be quite something, wouldn't it, Jason, to see him do both in the same year?
I would love to see him do them both on the same hit.
That would be even better.
I'm writing the script. That's what happens. Remember that? This is a while ago, but remember there was a day where, let's see, Tony Gwynn got his 3,000th hit and Mark McGwire hit his 500th homer on the same day. Didn't that happen? I feel like it happened.
I think something like that happened, yes.
I remember blowing up my day to write about it, so I'm pretty sure it happened. That would be amazing if we could script that. But here's the thing. This guy can still hit. Especially, he still rises to the moment. it just feels like his team has been so irrelevant, there haven't been enough moments. Did you know last year he hit 407 in high leverage situations with a 1241 OPS? Runners in scoring position, he hit 390. Runners in scoring position and two outs, he hit 444. But two outs and nobody on, you know what he hit? 117. Like, those are fascinating numbers, aren't they?
They are, yes. And it does speak to his ability still, as you said, to rise to the occasion. And people wonder all the time, is clutch hitting a skill? It is a skill. The ability to stay calm in that moment, in particular, is something all the great ones do. Pujols, Cabrera, Trout, anyone you want to name, they're able to do that, slow their heartbeat down. And Mickey's done that his whole career.
You know, a few years ago, I did a piece on him in which I basically said, I know why people think RBIs are overrated. Here's the reason they're not overrated, Miguel Cabrera. And then I spent a half hour talking to him about the way he thinks in those situations. And it was incredible. Like, he does stuff to set up the catcher, to set up the pitcher. He moves in the box. He'll take a pitch he actually would want to hit. He surveys the field like Aaron Rodgers, you know, trying to figure out where he's going to go with the ball. It's really amazing the way this guy thinks. It's just, he doesn't have that foundation under him anymore, and his team isn't very good, but he can still do it. I have to admit, I love watching him. All right, Ken, we could go storylines all day long, but you know what people like us do at times like this? We make predictions. So what do you say we predict the playoff field, World Series, and some awards? You up for that?
I'll be happy to do it, but I hope nobody keeps a recording of this particular podcast.
You know, I used to write a column every year predicting who was going to win the World Series, and I had an editor that I worked with on that, and as soon as the column would post, he would shoot me a text, and whatever the team was, Red Sox, doomed. Okay, so we're always wrong. Well, that's just what we do best. This is not a good line of work, but we're just going to have some fun with this. So I'll run through the NL, then you give me your picks, unless you want to go back and forth. All right, I'm going to go NL East. I'm going Mets. You know, just a wild division, but I think this team's for real. I think Francisco Lindor changes everything about them. I just love the depth of their lineup and staff. Mets in the East. NL Central, the Brewers. They're very high on my list of teams that are way better than I thought they would be as spring training loomed. The Jackie Bradley Jr. and Colton Wong signings changed their lineup, changed their defense. They have a really great staff, and that bullpen, like, if you get behind the Brewers, you are going to lose. And then NL West, I really wanted to pick the Padres. Can't do it. Dodgers just too deep and too good. It's impossible not to pick them. Wild cards, I didn't know what to do. Padres, like, that's a win the World Series team, so they've got to be one of them. And then who's the other one? You could pick almost anybody else in the NL East. Just to make a point, I'm going to go Phillies, just because I think Dave Dombrowski has done a way better job at providing bullpen options, bullpen velocity, roster depth, pitching depth, than people seem to have noticed. I just feel like of all the teams in the sport with big upside, they're the one that gets talked about the least. One quick stat, I wrote about this a couple weeks ago. The Phillies led at some point in 49 of their 60 games last year and missed the playoffs. The only team in the league that led in more games was the Dodgers. So I tried to make the point, if they just had a normal bullpen, like, they're one of the best teams in baseball, and our perception of them is completely different. I think at worst, with the moves they've made, they'll at least have a normal bullpen. I just kind of like their team.
What do you got? And Jason, keep in mind, before I get to my predictions, they were choosing between Brandon Kinstler and Tony Watson for the last spot in their bullpen. And those are two accomplished relievers. So that's an indication of how much they've progressed. But I don't have them in my field. I've got the Braves winning the NL East because the Braves get overlooked by guys like us every year at this time, as well as the projection systems. And they still have that incredible pitching depth. They have a tremendous lineup with Ozuna back. I love their vibe. I love what Snitker does with them. And Acuna's going to go crazy this year. So I've got the Braves winning the East. And I'm with you in the Central. And I'll mention one thing you didn't. And I love all the things you mentioned. The up-the-middle defense, the bullpen stars, the rotation with Woodruff and Burns. But Council, Craig Council, the manager, to me, is a difference maker. He will decide games, and also he will decide the course of a season because of the way he handles that staff and that team. We've seen it countless times now. They routinely overachieve. In the West, I'm with you. I can't go against the Dodgers. I believe Pecota has them for 104 wins. And you know what? You think that's crazy, but it's not crazy given their depth. They've lost some pieces. I don't know that people realize. Jock Peterson, Kike Hernandez, Pedro Baez. These were good contributors for them, but they've added some pieces too, and that Mr. Bauer guy should be helpful to their rotation. Wild cards, I'll go with the Mets as one, even though I'm not totally convinced. Some of their moves to me are more window dressing and not as important as people might think. I'm thinking about VR, Pilar, Almora. These guys are okay. I don't know that they're great contributors, but they've certainly raised the baseline of their talent. They've got more depth than in the past. And of course, the other wild card, I don't know how you go against the Padres. That rotation with the three trade additions, Snell, Darvish, and Musgrove, should be really good.
I love those picks. I wanted to pick all those teams. the National League is loaded, man. Like, we got used to the American League being the league. The National League, I think right now, has more talent, more good teams than the American League, and it's by a lot. All right, let's do AL. AL East, I really wanted to go Blue Jays, but all their health stuff this spring has kind of scared me off thinking they're going to win the division. So I'm going to go Yankees. Just, I know it's a safe pick, but I couldn't help it. AL Central, another chalk pick. Twins, there's another team. Just love the vibe there. Love the lineup. I think they've got a really good staff with tremendous looks, different varied looks. They just feel like they're a more complete team than the White Sox or Indians or anyone else in that division. AL West, I'm going to go Angels. Suppose Ohtani does have that year. They're going to lead the league in Iglesias's. Very important. Right, got Ray, Sell, and Jose. I kind of like the way Perry Minashian went about it. And he did it in a year where the division is more winnable than it's been in probably 5 years. The Astros and A's came back to the pack a little bit. I don't think the Angels are going to win 95 games, but I could see them winning a division where 87 or 88 might take it. Then wild cards, Blue Jays, and White Sox, I just think are two of the most fun teams to watch in the sport. So I wanted to pick them. That's my reasoning. I wanted to pick them so I could watch them in October.
Well, I love the Blue Jays fun element. No doubt about it. But even before they lost Yates to a season-ending Tommy John surgery, Kirby Yates, I was not in love with their pitching. And they've had other issues this spring. Robbie Ray's going to miss his first start with an elbow bruise. I guess he fell down the stairs or something, right, Jason? Nate Pearson with his groin, yep. Thomas Hatch. They've got all these different little nicks, and their pitching is not all that deep and dominant to begin with, so I'm not including them in my field. I've got the Yankees winning the East, though their rotation is completely boom or bust for me. I still see the Twins, like you do, as the dominant team in the AL Central. They're not a particularly sexy team, I guess some people think, but now they've got Simmons. They're moving Polanco over to second. They've got some different elements to their look. J. Happ joins the rotation. And I just see them as the best team still. And actually, I think they're due in the postseason, too. I know that is blasphemy to say that, the way they perform every October. But that's my feeling. And then I'll go with the Astros in the West. Now, I am enticed by the Angels. And I'm kind of hoping the Angels are good because they have so many big stars on that team. And they're so interesting. Fletcher and Iglesias up the middle with Walsh coming in at first base. But I still see the Astros as the best team. And we saw what they did in the playoffs last year. Now, I know it was expanded and a different kind of year, but that young pitching they have is pretty impressive. Now, if they get Valdez back to join Odorizzi with Greinke and McCullers, I still see them as the best. And I don't even rule out the A's having a shot because they seem to be better than we think every year. Wild cards, yes, the White Sox. Even without Aloy, I still think they're going to be a really good team. And I'm going to go with the Rays. And it's almost the same feeling that I have with the Brewers. I just trust them. I trust them to be good. I trust them to figure it out. Cash does a tremendous job. They have, unlike a lot of teams, the ability to have what Peter Gammons called 2 seasons worth of pitchers, to bring in some young guys like McClanahan and Patino and all these guys that they have in their mix. Offensively, it's going to be a question, but when Franco joins the team, Wander Franco, they're going to be quite formidable there too. So I'm still thinking of them as a playoff team.
Yeah, I would say the Rays and the Braves were the two teams it was hardest for me to not pick. They're playoff teams. It's just all how it plays out. Okay, World Series. I picked the World Series that I thought would be most fun to cover. I'll admit it. Okay, it's 2 wild card teams. I've got Padres over Blue Jays. One question. Would the World Series be in that ballpark in Dunedin?
This is a good question. They should be back in Toronto by then. I've got the Padres winning too. Only it's over the Twins. And basically, I think the World Series that one of my employers, Fox, wants, well, I know what it is. It's the one they want every year. It's Dodgers-Yankees. And that certainly could happen. But I don't know. I just think the Padres have this vibe about them. They're going to have to get through the Dodgers in the playoffs. That's not going to be easy. They're going to have to get through the wild card game first if they don't win the division. But I just like where they are. And beyond what we know right now, we do know A.J. Preller is going to add somebody else, probably a top-end reliever at some point. And the Twins, as I said, I just feel at some point you give a team enough chances in the playoffs, like giving players enough chances in the playoffs, and they're going to defy what we've thought of them all along. And I see the Twins in that light.
I like it. I like it. Well, either way, it would be a fun World Series. That's what we're in it for, the fun.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. One more great product from LinkedIn. You're there to network, you're there to look for jobs, you're there to post jobs. And how about LinkedIn Sales Navigator? It's a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/baseballshow. That is linkedin.com/baseballshow for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/baseballshow and get started.
All right, why don't we do some award picks? I'll let you go first. NL MVP.
Hard to go against Juan Soto right now. As you documented in very impressive form a few weeks ago, and I know you took a lot of heat for this, this is our generation's Ted Williams. And if he stays healthy, he's going to put together that kind of season that is going to wow us. Now, I don't have the Nationals in the playoffs. You don't have the Nationals in the playoffs. That conceivably could hurt his case, but he's my guy for National MVP.
And I'm going to pick another guy who I don't have in the playoffs, but could be, should be, Ronald Acuna Jr. Talked to his hitting coach, Kevin Seitzer, the other day. He is so upbeat about the adjustments that Acuna's made. He's in incredible shape. He's lost a little weight, running like a sprint champ. Just there's no telling what this guy might do. Ken, I'm already worried that Acuna and Freddie Freeman will divide up the MVP votes in Atlanta. But I just know the NL East is going to be so must-watch this year. How about AL MVP?
Mike Trout. I know it's chalk, but he convinced me when we were speaking a couple of weeks ago, I referred to this earlier, and he said that he had not felt right at the plate for at least a year. Now, this is Mike Trout talking. He's seventh in the league, I believe, in OPS last year. He's still pretty good, even though he didn't feel right. But now he seems to have, in his mind, figured something out. He's more directional toward the pitcher, not striding in, and he thinks this adjustment is going to really make a huge difference. He's also worked really hard on his defense, and I don't know how you ever pick against the guy.
Yeah, look, I understand what you're saying, but it should be illegal in a preseason prediction for you to pick Mike Trout.
Yeah, probably right.
Come on. Can't pick him every year. It's too safe. So I'm going to go with an Angel, but not him. I'm going to go with Ohtani. But let me ask you, is it even possible for an Angel not named Mike Trout to win the MVP?
Great question. But let's say Ohtani is a facsimile of what you described earlier, right? This guy with an OPS like Freddie Freeman and an ERA plus like Gerrit Cole. He does it in 100 innings, 400 plate appearances. That would be enough for me.
Yeah. I mean, if he does historic stuff, if he's Babe Ruth, let's do it. Let's vote for him. But it'll be a fun debate. Which Angels should win the MVP? When's the last time that happened? Okay, NL Cy Young.
I know this probably should be a pick that is outlawed too, but I'm going with DeGrom. Now, if not for that one bad start against the Phillies. Remember, Jason, last September 16th?
I do.
He had a rough start. It was two innings against the Phillies. He might have won his third straight last year. He's throwing 100 again this spring. If he does get a third Cy Young, that will match him with Kershaw and Scherzer, which is a pretty good company to keep. And I just see him being that guy again. I don't see any reason why he won't be.
Well, I don't see one either. But again, like, it should be illegal to pick him. Luckily, that like this is Mondays are going to be your show. If this was my show, I would ban these predictions and make you pick somebody else. You're supposed to go a little bit, right? Like, come on, think outside the box a little. I'm going to go Yu Darvish. For a year and a half now, season and a half now, he has pitched at a Cy Young level. I feel like you put him on that team in that park against that division primarily. Something spectacular could happen. So I'm going to go Yu Darvish. So I've got a guy from Japan as MVP. I've got a guy from Japan as Cy Young. I'm just thinking globally. All right, AL Cy Young, what do you got?
I'd love to go with Zach Greinke just because, but Lucas Giolito is at a point in his career now where he is ready to win a Cy Young. And he's with a team that is going to be really competitive. So he'll get more attention than he might have normally. And obviously of that group of Harvard-Westlake pitchers, Max Fried, Jack Flaherty, and him, all from the same high school, each of them can win the Cy Young and will be a candidate this year. But I just see it as Giolito's moment. He is, of course, improved. And he's one of the great stories in the game because the Nationals, let's face it, they gave up on him. They thought he would not be the guy that everyone thought. He went to Chicago, was obviously humbled, and kind of redid everything. And here he is.
That's a great pick. I'm going to accept that pick. Now I'm going to pick a guy who seems like he's chalk, Gerrit Cole, except for one thing. Can you believe that Gerrit Cole has never won a Cy Young? I feel like he's the best pitcher in the sport who has never won one. So it's time to right that wrong. So is that a chalk pick or not?
That's a total chalk pick, and if I had made it, you'd be ripping me.
Probably. Yeah, I guess I would, but if he's never won one, I don't think he can be viewed as the chalk. I mean, you pick two guys who win it every year. All right, NL Rookie of the Year.
I call this player the reason, because he is the reason to watch the Pittsburgh Pirates. No disrespect to any of their other players. Ke'Bryan Hayes, we saw him a little bit last year. His exit velocity is off the charts. His defense is brilliant. He is, in my view, going to be a huge star in this game, and he's the rookie of the year.
We're actually going to agree on something for once. I've got him, too. There's a lot of choices here. He has some guys who are going to start the year in the minors and come back, but I'm going to take the guy who I know is going to spend all year in the big leagues, a guy I know his team is guaranteed to give playing time to no matter what happens, not to mention a guy with a 442 on base last year and almost a 700 slugging percentage, and he's done the same stuff this spring. He is the real deal. So let's go with a Pirate. That would be fun. What about AL Rookie of the Year?
Well, I believe it's now four straight seasons, where we've had a Rookie of the Year emerge, even though he didn't start the season with his team. Why is that? We know the reason. It's service time manipulation, that little game that teams play from time to time. So I am guessing that the Rookie of the Year from the American League will be someone who is not on an opening day roster. Could be Jarred Kelenic, could be Bobby Witt Jr., but I'm going with Wander Franco, the consensus number one prospect in the game. This guy will be an impact offensive player when he comes up. I don't know exactly where they would play him because they've got a pretty good shortstop right now, Willy Adames, and they might have to put Franco in third or second, do some different things with him. The Rays like to do that, as we know. So he's the guy for me.
I can't wait for Wander Franco to arrive. But like once again, I'm going to take a guy who's on the same team as your guy, but it's not that player. I'm going Randy Rosarena. What a story. We never had anybody who was ever the MVP of the LCS and then started his career, right? But that's what we've got here. He's already been Mr. October. I thought of Jarred Kelenic. He's got 21 hits above A-ball. Randy Rosarena has 10 home runs in the postseason. We've literally never seen anything like this guy. Last year during October, it felt like every night I was writing, he's the greatest player I've ever seen, whoever he is. This is the year we find out who the heck he is. Ken, all right, that's going to do it for episode one, season one of the Athletic Baseball Show. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So please subscribe and feel free to hit us with a 5-star rating if you enjoy what you hear. And as always, you can find us free on the Athletic app. Ken will be back next Monday and every Monday with his mailbag. So Ken, this is the time for you to tell the world how they can ask you questions for this show.
All right. Three different ways, actually. Now, if you want to get your voice on the podcast, that's kind of the way I would go about it if I were listening. Yeah. You call the voicemail line. That's 646-543-7072. Again, the voicemail line for our podcast, 646-543-7072. You can also email us at tabaseballshow@gmail.com. Tim Anderson, tabaseballshow@gmail.com. And finally, probably the least preferred route from my perspective would be Twitter. #AskKen. Now, the reason I say it's the least preferred route, because I know people will take their different liberties with me. And that's fine, though. Seriously, #AskKen, A-S-K-K-E-N. Any one of those three ways, we welcome your questions. We'll love to have them, and we will love to be talking baseball with what the fans want to hear about each Monday.
Okay, what would happen if I were to ask you a question?
You can ask me a question, Jason. I don't know if I'll answer, especially after the abuse you've been heaping on me in this show.
Yeah, you can do better than my questions. But that sounds like an awesome show. Ken Rosenthal podcasting. What a thing. Meanwhile, I'll be back tomorrow with my good friend Doug Glanville. It'll be the 2021 debut of Starkville. We'll be joined by Theo Epstein. Yes, I said Theo Epstein. Tremendous. All right, Ken, we hope you enjoyed the show. For Ken Rosenthal, I'm Jason Stark. Thanks for hanging out with us on the Athletic Baseball Show.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.